Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The founder of Gaw Miners is going to jail. Good evening. I'm Mark Hochstein, and this is Late Confirmation from CoinDesk, bringing you the top stories for September 14th, 2018. On today's program, R3's Corda packs the house in London, and IBM and Hesera launch a new blockchain Yellow Pages. In a moment, we'll speak with CoinDesk reporter Rachel Rose O'Leary about recent developments on Ethereum's road to becoming scalable. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Master financial technology online with the 10-week Oxford FinTech program, interacting with an international cohort of business leaders and over 60 guest experts. You'll gain a practical introduction to key financial technologies and their business applications. Find out more at oxfordexecfintech.com.
And we're back. Vlad Zamfir and some other developers on Ethereum have completed a proof of concept for sharding, one of the most hotly anticipated scaling solutions for the second largest blockchain. Here to discuss this development is our resident Ethereum doyen, Rachel Rose O'Leary. Rachel, the first thing that comes to mind when I hear the term proof of concept, I imagine people just rolling their eyes because we've had so many POCs in this space that there's a bit of fatigue. Why is this particular proof of concept important?
Yeah, I mean, so essentially, I totally get what you're saying, because proof of concept has all these kind of different meanings depending on what you're talking about. But in this case, it's just demonstrating that one aspect of an idea works in practice. So it's a very early code implementation that lacks a lot of kind of fundamental architectural features that it would need in order to be a real working software. So what this particular proof of concept does is it implements one aspect of Vlad Zamfir's research into sharding, which is quite an important one. So what it implements is a form of cross-shard communication, which basically just means that different shards on a post-sharding sharded blockchain, so when Ethereum's being split up into kind of more manageable chunks, that they can communicate. And what it means to communicate basically is to send ETH or Ether from one shard to the other, but also other kinds of communications like calls and so on. So he's proved that that can work in software, which is quite exciting.
So what does this mean for Ethereum scaling in general?
Sure. So I spoke to Vlad about this yesterday, and he was sort of very clear that in terms of the broader scaling roadmap, this proof of concept has little or no significance. And the reason why he made that point was because by implementing it in code, it didn't actually solve any of the known research problems. So it didn't actually progress what's still very much in the kind of in the engineering phase. It didn't progress any of that. All it did was sort of bring like previously kind of known research into software. And by putting it in software, it essentially serves an educational role. But it doesn't necessarily speed the progression into scaling any faster. But that said, you know, at some point, all of the research is going to have to be coded up. Like, it was going to happen at some point. So,
and speaking of Ethereum, you were listening to the biweekly developer call that they held today. What news came out of that event?
Yeah, so the calls recently, which happen every 2 weeks, have been very much about Constantinople, which is the upcoming system-wide upgrade, which includes a kind of a bunch of very small technical changes and then some more kind of contentious changes, like it's going to slightly lower the Ether reward per block. But what today was interesting because developers finalized a date for when this hard fork is going to activate on the Ethereum testnet called Robston. So that basically means it's going to activate on in a kind of simulation of Ethereum, which mimics the conditions of Ethereum but doesn't have any real Ether on it. So they're gonna activate that in October, it looks like, on Robston. And then in terms of the timeline for the Constantinople itself activating on the main chain, that was discussed, but it kind of seems like the emphasis is on getting the testing done as kind of as smoothly as possible. And in terms of timing, it's probably still a few months away.
Finally, I want to talk about the push in Ethereum against specialized mining chips known as ASICs. I know there's a lot of concern that, just as happened in Bitcoin, that ASICs are pushing the mining power to be consolidated in Ethereum. What's going on that front?
Yeah, so it's interesting. There was sort of a moment on the call where Hudson Jemson, who's the kind of person who adjudicates the discussion, asked everyone their opinions on ASIC resistance, and there was just this kind of long stretch of silence. So I think there's people are quite polarized on it. There's a lot of people who argue that that ASICs don't in fact have damaging impact on the security of the network. There's other people, particularly miners who are currently operating general purpose hardware, who can't compete with this kind of new generation of miners that are coming in. They're arguing a lot to have developers implement some kind of code change that would make it so that these ASICs are drawn off the network. At the moment, it's very obvious that no such proof of work change would happen in Constantinople. It's possible that it could go into the subsequent hard fork, which is planned for 8 months later, which is called Istanbul. But then a researcher called Danny Ryan made another interesting point where he said that actually the research into Casper, which is a kind of virtualization of the mining process, which doesn't rely on hardware at all, that this new kind of consensus system was actually progressing quite quickly. So he sort of suggested that by the time Istanbul is being discussed, we might be too close to proof of stake to want to remove the ASICs at that point.
Right, because Ethereum is moving away from proof of work anyway. So it would only be a temporary measure.
Yeah, but I will just note that I guess one of the leading arguments for removing ASICs is ASICs are a single purpose hardware, so they're tailored to function for one algorithm, whereas general purpose units can quite easily flip between different cryptocurrencies. So one of the core arguments for not having ASICs on the network is that when it comes to proof of stake, those ASICs are naturally incentivized to create a new version of Ethereum, which is still proof of work, because they have no other option of what to do with their hardware.
So Rachel, if these miners want to maximize the return on investment from their ASICs after proof of stake, couldn't they just switch to Ethereum Classic?
Yeah, quite possibly they could.
Well, we'll be keeping tabs on Ethereum as all these technical debates continue to progress. Rachel, thanks for joining us, and thanks for the insight.
No problem. Thanks very much.
Late Confirmation is brought to you by Oxford University's Said Business School. You can now study fintech entirely online with Oxford University's Said Business School. The 10-week program gives you the tools you need to build the future of transactions and commerce. You'll explore emerging technologies that will disrupt marketplaces and financial services, and examine the state of the industry and plan disruptive intra and entrepreneurial interventions. Throughout the program, you'll be exposed to key ideas, principles, and frameworks from CEOs of leading startups, corporate leaders, and instructional leaders at the forefront of research in the space of future commerce and transactions. Find out more at OxfordExecFintech.com.
IBM has teamed up with the enterprise blockchain firm Hesera to launch a directory of blockchain projects around the globe. This Yellow Pages-style directory is built on the Hyperledger Fabric 1.0 and called Unbounded Registry. As Vice President at IBM Blockchain Jerry Cuomo explained, this will help companies who are looking to adopt blockchain find options and partners. It's especially useful in the case of private networks that are invitation-only. The registry contains projects launched by startups and major financial and technology giants like IBM, Huawei, Oracle, SAP, and the Hong Kong Monetary Authority. Each record has a brief explanation and a list of recent news events related to the listed project. Also, registered users can use a channel to directly message the teams they want to contact, and startups can add information about themselves to the database. Josh Garza, CEO of the now-defunct crypto mining company Gaw Miners, has been sentenced to 21 months in prison. Last year, Garza pleaded guilty to a wire fraud charge. The investigation started in 2014. Gaw operated as a reseller and distributor of mining equipment, advertising that it would purchase and operate machines on behalf of customers. But soon, people started to express skepticism about Gaw's figures and its actual capacity. The Securities and Exchange Commission and the Justice Department later charged that Gaw was acting as a Ponzi scheme, selling more crypto mining processing power than it actually had. The company's collapse in 2015 confirmed these allegations, and the regulators filed lawsuits. Gaw also was infamous for a cryptocurrency called Paycoin, and its promise that the price of Paycoin wouldn't go lower than $20. If you look at the charts right now, it's well under a penny. A U.S. district judge also held Garza liable for more than $9 million. If you're a regular listener of this show, you know that the first ever Consensus Singapore is just days away, kicking off September 19th. We talk about Consensus every episode because it's such a big deal. 75 speakers, industry announcements, networking. It's a fantastic place to grow your business, and tickets are still available. Register today at coindesk.com/events. Over in London, this week, R3 hosted Corticon, an annual forum for R3 platform developers and adopters. Ian Allison, our correspondent in London, reports that the event was packed. Important announcements came from both business and state players. The UK government's Her Majesty's Land Registry announced that it would use Corda to digitize the house buying process as part of its Digital Street project. Also, the country's Financial Conduct Authority said the technology has been far and away the most popular inside its regulatory sandbox. Meanwhile, some consortiums from the insurance and trade finance industries that previously had been building on rival platforms like Hyperledger Fabric chose Corda and talked about their decision. Also, it was announced that Corda Marketplace, a pseudo-app store for solutions on Corda, CordApps, is now live and includes over 200 companies. And all of this should be viewed in light of the rumors and reports about R3's financial health, which may well be true, but it looks like, if nothing else, R3 has built a community around its software. For more on today's stories and to subscribe to our newsletter, check out Coindesk.com. You can find us on Twitter, at Coindesk. For Coindesk, I'm Mark Hochstein, and this has been Late Confirmation. Have a great weekend.
The Podglomerate, a Sonic Universe.